The following program is an AUFans.com production. War Eagle.
This is Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay.
To the 40, to the 30, tail lights, touchdown! Keep him off the field tonight! Holy cow!
It's a little bit like a punch in the gut.
Oh, yeah.
What are we talking about?
And now, Talking Tigers football. Here are your hosts, Stan Stevens and Jay Webb.
And I am your host, Stan Stevens.
I'm your other host, Jay Webb. And you are listening to Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay. Stan is the other guy.
That would be me. War Eagle, Jay.
Yeah, hey, War Eagle.
1-0, baby.
We're on top already.
1-0 after getting a big victory, and I do mean a big victory, over the Louisville Cardinals Saturday. Over in the Georgia Dome, 31-24. Jay, don't let anybody fool you or confuse you. This was a big win for Auburn, and I'm going to tell you why here in a minute. But I have been a little bit, Jay, I got to say right off the top, I've been a little bit concerned with some of my my Auburn brethren.
How so?
Well,
what's going on?
There's been a little bit of hand-wringing, if you will, some concern, some worry about the performance of Jeremy Johnson, our starting quarterback.
Okay.
If you listen to some of the talk shows, read some of the articles, I've actually talked to some people, and it's been universal. They've been a little bit concerned again about Jeremy's performance. Now, I was trying to put this in some kind of context, and so I got on the internet, Jay.
That's dangerous.
Anyway, it really is. I was just digging through all kinds of material.
Okay.
But I finally found something that sort of reflected the way some Auburn people feel after this big win. And I thought, well, let me see if this appeals to anybody's common sense about what they've been hearing. And but anyway, go ahead and play that, Jay, will you?
Okay, this is right.
So
that's what you've been hearing.
That's it, Jay. And I'm here to tell you that Jeremy Johnson didn't have his he didn't have his best night he's going to have in his Auburn career. I think that people, though, that maybe already had him with one hand holding the Heisman Trophy, that might have been a little premature. Anyway, now, of course, we'll look at some of we'll look at those interceptions and see if we can maybe figure out a little bit about how the perception of all of it would have been different in a little bit. But anyway, it was a big win against a team that has a lot of guys on defense that are highly thought of, maybe not so much by some of our, SEC listening brethren, but there's several guys that at least Louisville and some of the media types think will be playing on Sunday that's playing on that Louisville defense. Coach Petrino had, as I mentioned last week's show, he'd been preparing for Auburn, since last December. I mean, I mean, this guy wanted to beat Auburn in the worst kind of way. Uh-huh. Coach Muschamp showed certainly, really the whole game, but certainly in the first half, first maybe two and a half quarters, why we went out and got this guy. He is the best in the business. I mean, that Auburn defense looked completely different than any Auburn defense I've seen in the last few years. I mean, they were awesome. They were flying to the ball. Yeah. We had penetration. Now, granted, Louisville's one of Louisville's weak areas of concern was their offensive line. But again, to get the constant penetration and pressure early in the game was encouraging. Now, they put in that freshman. Of course, the freshman quarterback, first play of the game, and I had mentioned some trick plays I thought we'd see from Coach Petrino, and, you know, we saw that one, and then it went so far south on him. Maybe he scrapped plans for a lot of the other ones. But, you know, we intercept that ball on the first play of the game, Trey Matthews, and it led to a score. And then we, of course, we kick off. We continue to play great defense. Jay, now, one guy that was in there early and even on that first play that had his presence felt was Carl Lawson. Of course, we've been talking about Carl Lawson all off season, and everybody's been looking to it. And the guy looked phenomenal. He did end up tweaking a hip flexor, and so he played he didn't play the second half, and he even missed a series or two in the first half. But
I didn't catch when he actually got out of the game, but I noticed he was missing,
and that hurt. Of course, you got to have other guys step up, and we had some guys come in. Jeff Holland, we had Byron Cowart came in. Both those guys, true freshmen. And, in fact, Saturday we played several true freshmen. Tim Irvin in the defensive backfield, along with Jeremiah Denson. And then there was probably somebody else I'm missing. But the play of the defensive line, Jay, was, like I say, was really encouraging. Casanova McKenzie, who I don't know if he started, Trey Williams may have started in front of him, but Casanova had several tackles. And so, you know, starting out defensively, we were playing lights out. Their first quarterback, Donovan, he played pretty well, but I guess Coach Petrino had been, as Vern Lundquist called him, Coach Trevino.
Whoopsie.
I guess maybe Bobby may have a golfing career if he takes after his long lost cousin Lee Trevino.
Oh,
but
there you go.
That's it. So you know, the offense was struggling some. We moved the ball down there, and Jeremy got his first interception, where he did look like he just threw it right to the guy. In fact, two of those interceptions, the last one looked the same. Now, the one interception that he threw up, just kind of up for grabs, it was picked off. Again, when the coaches say these are correctable, I mean, they always say stuff like that, Jay. These are correctable mistakes. But I think they saw a side of Jeremy they hadn't seen in a long time, not in practice. I don't know if he might have been pressing. You know, it's the first game. You know, you've got all the hype. You're the leader. You're trying to make some stuff happen. But honestly, Jay, on at least two of those interceptions, and the very last one, he had just thrown a, I don't know, 60-yard, whatever it was, touchdown pass to Jason Smith, a beautiful throw and catch by Jason Smith, who's also one of the new guys on the team this year. But unfortunately, Braden Smith got stepped on, it looks like, lost his balance and kind of grabbed the guy as he was going past him. And then that play was nullified. And then the Auburn staff, I don't know if it was Coach Malzahn or one of the other coaches, in their displeasure of, with the call, got another 15 yards tacked on. So, you know, you go from a touchdown pass to first and 35. Yeah. That makes it tough on anybody.
Certainly.
And I'm afraid that some of us have thought that maybe Jeremy was not going to have any growing pains because he's been around the program a little while. He looked pretty good in the last year's openers, like we talked about. You know, he started against Arkansas,
right,
and played pretty flawless. And so I think people just thought, well, he's going to come out here and he's going to be, I don't know, he's going to, well, and I was going to say he's going to be like Pat Sullivan. I did read an interesting story, Jay, this past weekend, that Coach Sullivan, who, as you know, is actually a friend of mine, I guess could say that. My cousin played for him at Sanford, and so I was privileged enough to get to meet Coach Sullivan. But Coach Sullivan, in his second game at Auburn, we travel to Knoxville, and I think Tennessee ends up beating us like 45-19 that day. And Sully, you know, Mr. Auburn, as far as I'm concerned, first Heisman Trophy winner at Auburn, 5 interceptions that day, Jay.
That's a pretty rough game.
Yes. And, you know, it was mentioned by this writer that was recalling, you know, remembering back to that day. He said good for Coach Sullivan that they didn't have social media back then.
Right.
Or Sully might have been, you know, they'd, of course, been calling. Of course, Jay, you know, there's another old adage in football, an old saying about the most popular football player on any football team is the backup quarterback. You know, I can't tell you how many times I heard last year, oh, we need to get Jeremy and then get Nick out of the game.
Uh-huh.
Get Nick out. Well, for whatever reason, I guess it's human nature, we always think that the guy sitting over there that didn't win the job, you know, the guy that's, you know, the coaches typically want to play the best player. I mean, that's, yeah. I read that somewhere once. But, you know, that's the guy. Now, I think we got a great backup quarterback, Sean White, and I'm excited about seeing him.
Are you saying you want to play him instead?
Well, no, not at all. And of course, here's the thing. I do think Sean White, is from everything I've read about that kid, he's a winner.
Yeah.
And he's going to lead Auburn to some victories, and I hope he gets to play this year. But I think, again, Jeremy Johnson, I think we got to give this guy a few weeks to I think he'll be better. Of course, Jacksonville State, and we'll talk about Jacksonville State, and obviously they're a FCS opponent, a division below, you know, Auburn, but they've got a good football team. We'll talk about them in just a minute. But as the game went on, you know, and we took the lead again, we had chances of just putting them away.
Certainly.
And of course, I got to tell you, Jay, when we go up like 31-10, you know, you're up by 3 touchdowns with 10 minutes to go. The game should be over. I mean, a team is talented. I mean, you're talking about they'd score 10 points in the first, 45, it was 10 minutes, first 50 minutes of the game,
yeah.
They've scored 10 points. They shouldn't be able to get 21 points in just 10 minutes. But,
I think so.
But you know, we made it, you know, it got interesting at the end. I mean, they never had the ball with even a chance to tie it. But I think that both Coach Muschamp has got a lot of film and a lot of teaching moments for these kids going forward, and we're going to need to improve this week against Jacksonville State. We're going to need to improve so that we head to Baton Rouge in a couple of weeks. You know, we're ready to take on LSU down at their place. So, but overall, like I say, you know, there was a lot of a lot of encouraging signs from this team. Offensively, I do think Gus is going to have to continue to evolve himself a little bit. There's no question that dimension of Nick Marshall brought about running that football, and in fact, that the kid for Louisville reminded me a lot of Nick, his shifting, how fast he was, and his ability to make people miss.
Yeah.
I don't know that you're going to see Jeremy carry a lot. Well, one thing I would like to see is maybe in the passing game, less, not so much. I mean, certainly everybody wants to see, they don't want to see Jeremy throw it into triple coverage.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but I'd like to see the ball go around, maybe even get more into a passing, a little bit more of a passing mode. Now, I know we're going to run the football. And I'll tell you this, Jay, our offensive line, those holding calls notwithstanding, played pretty well and looks to be what they were billed to be.
Yeah.
That offensive line will continue to get better. We'll be good, and it's going to be tough. Now, I do want to mention the play of Peyton Barber. A lot of people didn't know Peyton Barber.
Yeah.
You know, of course, I knew who he was and really felt like he was going to get some playing time. Now, I think the playing time increased because of the injuries to Rock Thomas and to Javon Robinson. But I wouldn't be surprised even to see our local kid, Kerryon Johnson, who's a true freshman out of, you know, played at Madison Academy last year, get some carries hopefully Saturday against Jack State. But now, again, to talk about Jack State, they won a nail-biter against Chattanooga. Again, this is a level a lower than you know, that Auburn's at. But they're still ranked like 7th and 8th. Chattanooga and Jacksonville State in the FCS. Jacksonville State's got a good football team. They got a good, they're well coached. They got a former Auburn guy, Devontae Ziegler, I think is his name, but defensive player that was really good. So they're going to be motivated. This is a game of their lives to come into Jordan-Hare Stadium, and they last year they went like 10-2. They did get beat like in the first round of the playoffs. But they, I mean, they've got a really good football team. I mean, it's probably the difference is just more or less some size and speed, which you'd always say, well, that would always be the case. But, I mean, I think they've got some kids that could probably play at Auburn, Alabama, if they had been another 2 or 3 inches, maybe 30, 40 pounds heavier kind of thing. And so, I mean, I think you're looking, if it's 11 o'clock game, I mean, Auburn people, you're going to have to get there early and be ready to cheer and not just kind of walk through it. I mean, a lot of times the fans, Jay, they expect the team to come out there at 11 o'clock playing like it's a Super Bowl when they're not into it. You know, the crowd's not very loud and all that. So, I mean, you know, Auburn folks, we need to be cheering and we need to be into it and we need to put these guys away and not let them hang around because, again, we don't want to have another – you know, kind of a sloppy game, and then you're trying to get ready to go to LSU. So here's what we know, Jay.
What do we know?
Well, Jeremy Johnson is going to be okay. JJ, I'm going to start calling
JJ. Okay, that'll work.
And you know, I think we saw enough Saturday from Coach Muschamp's defense that this defense is going to be maybe the difference in us being a team that really competes. Maybe for a West title. We got a lot of work to do. I think Coach Lashley, Coach Malzahn, going forward, I think they've got to make some adjustments, though, and put JJ in a little bit better position. We got to get the ball in the hands of some other guys. I mean, of course, Jason Smith, you saw what he could do on that one play that was called back.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he had another big catch. But we need to get the ball to him. I heard – Coach Malzahn and I think it might have been Andy Burcham, one of the Auburn Network guys, interviewing him, and he was talking about, you know, this guy's or it might have been post-game something. But anyway, you know, saying how, you know, electric and all that Jason Smith is. Well, you know, we got to get him, you know, we got to
give him an opportunity.
That's right. We got to quit talking about it and make some of that happen. Like I say, we played a lot of young guys. I thought Cam Petaway and Chandler Cox at H-back, for what I saw, opened up some holes, really, you know, were really physical at the point of attack. So that's all that's encouraging. Peyton Barber, you know, again, I think he deserves to start or certainly play, get a lot of carries Saturday and going forward. But so – and let's not forget the great play that gets overlooked by our kicker, Daniel Carlson.
That guy. That guy. What?
I mean, 56. Of course, it's the second. I guess it was the second longest field goal in Auburn history. And, I mean, it's good, Jay. I mean, if you saw
it. It was his career long, right?
It's his career long. And, like I said, awesome. Second longest in Auburn history. And it would have been, and it was good from 60 plus. I mean, it was, yeah. It had some, it still had some speed when it went through. And that would have been good from even further out. But, and then every kickoff. I mean, every kickoff, no returns, even the punting, Jay. Now, here's the thing. In the preseason, there was a lot of concern about, you know, who was going to win the punting job. And the junior college kid that punted did an excellent job Saturday. Of course, he was in the dome. And, you know, most kickers love playing indoors.
Yeah, no wind.
No wind, no elements of any sort. So, you know, the ball's dry and the whole bit. But so there was a lot of, a lot of good stuff. Not to mention, again, it was good to beat Louisville. It was good to beat Coach Petrino's team, knowing how bad they wanted, how bad he wanted it. We got a chance this week to get better, play a good, but a team that we really should beat. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to call the score, Jay. 45-17.
Okay.
45-17. Auburn.
I
missed last week's score a little bit. You know, I'm not ready to eat crow on it, just because. I mean, I still had
it was reasonable.
Well, it was, and I mean, before they got, you know, they converted that 4th and 7, which was the ball game, and then they convert that and they scored to cut it to 7. You know, we're up by 14, and we really should have beat these guys at least 14. It felt like that to me. But, you know, again, it was on the scoreboard, 1-7, so I missed that. I did miss the North Carolina game, and, of course, I want to talk about – we'll talk about the rest of the conference real briefly here in just a moment.
Oh,
but
yeah. Okay.
So, again, what I came away with was the you know, Carl Lawson, we've got to get that guy healthy if we can.
We need that guy.
Because he helps what I call the Muschamp effect.
Oh, boom.
That's right. That's right. The Muschamp effect.
Boom.
That's like better. That. Yeah, because you can tell, I mean, this is just a different defense, a different mindset than we've had in the last few years. JJ's going to be fine. I was going to remember the Alamo.
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
Remember Sully, Knoxville, 1969. He comes back after 5 interceptions, and at the time, you know, he rewrote every Auburn passing record back in those days. Mm-hmm. And so Jeremy –
it ain't over.
That's right. Jeremy's going to be fine. And if he's not, you know, you can call me out on it, Jay. I mean, I'm still looking for somebody to call me out on this show.
Man, I thought you were about to say, call you, like you were going to replace Jeremy Johnson.
Well, I think anybody,
my mind is,
anybody that's seen me play quarterback realizes, Jay, that's not happening. But anyway, we got, like I said, we got the big game to get better in this week, and then we'll be on to get LSU the next week. Now, taking a look around the SEC.
Around the SEC.
That's right. Around the SEC. Of course, everybody in the conference except Vandy and LSU won that first week. Well, of course, you may have caught the Commodores went down sadly to Western Kentucky. But and then LSU got beat by the elements, Jay. Lightning in the area. They called that game finally late Saturday night. So how that's going to impact LSU is they're going into Starkville, cowbell country.
Oh yeah, more cowbell. That's what we need.
That's right. So and that's what they're starting their season in Starkville. Mississippi State got their first game win under their belt down at Hattiesburg against Southern Miss. So it's going to be interesting to see how LSU comes into Starkville. I mean, you know, everybody's been picking Mississippi State last in the West just because they lost so many key players. But State's still a big physical, and they've still got Dak Prescott. So yeah. I'm interested to see what LSU can do, you know, and only having that one game, and then then the next week is us. Georgia put a thumping on Louisiana Monroe. They have they go to Vanderbilt. They go to Nashville to play their own music. Saturday, Jay, that'll be a name your score. Kentucky had to hold on, but they did get a big win against Louisiana Lafayette. They play at South Carolina. Now, this is a South Carolina team that beat my Gene Chizik-led North Carolina team on Thursday night. I think that South Carolina was not impressive looking at all. Maybe defensively they looked okay because North Carolina was supposed to have a, you know, decent offense. So I still like South Carolina to beat Kentucky at home this weekend.
All right.
Missouri beat Southeast Missouri, their little brother, Southeast Missouri State, and they play Arkansas State, who just got pummeled by USC. Missouri, oddly enough, travels to Jonesboro, Arkansas. I'm not sure who was scheduling for Missouri back in the day. I need some of my listeners out there. If you know anything about Jonesboro, Arkansas, maybe there's something there that just doesn't meet the eye at first glance. Anyway, Missouri travels to Arkansas State and will beat them. Tennessee opened up against Bowling Green and won, going away 59-30. I think most Tennessee people were maybe not as happy with maybe some of their defensive play. They gave up a lot of yards passing. Bowling Green had a pretty good passing attack. We're going to find out more about Tennessee Saturday, Jay. Oklahoma, the Sooners come to Knoxville. So that's going to be – I'm not sure. Do I have to pick a winner in that game?
No, you don't have to. Might be fun.
Well, I
don't want to make anybody mad, though.
No. I mean, Oklahoma, they trounced Akron, which – I don't know what you really gain from that either. I say Tennessee wins a close one in Knoxville.
All right. Well, they're pretty closely matched anyway as far as polls and all that shit.
That's right. Alabama had the big win against Big Ten Wisconsin. I guess the biggest thing that I got out of that game was, you know, Jake Coker looked better than I had anticipated he would look based on just what I'd been hearing and reading about him. He had first maybe a series of two early, but then he really came on. Of course, Bama's defense is their front seven's pretty nasty. Those guys are tough. So they will beat MTSU Saturday in Tuscaloosa. MTSU did open up impressively against Jackson State.
Oh, wow.
I think that's in Mississippi.
That sounds familiar.
But MTSU won like 70-14, so I'm sure Coach Saban will have their attention given that they ran that score up on Jackson State. Arkansas beat UTEP, and they play Toledo. Toledo kind of was in LSU's They were in LSU's boat. Their game with Stony Brook was canceled. And now, I'm not exactly sure. I think it was weather-related. Jay, there's a possibility that lack of interest is what caused the Stony Brook-Toledo cancellation. I have not had that confirmed yet. Again, as I mentioned, LSU, McNeese State, everybody pretty much left Tiger Stadium at the first clap of thunder and headed off to the, you know, well, anyway, down in the bayou somewhere. Mississippi State, as I said, beat Southern Miss. Ole Miss trounced little bitty UT Martin. I mean, it was those poor little guys from UT Martin. They went down there and got 76-3. Jay, I mean, that was there was some talk of maybe some arrest after the game because you know excessive brutality.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know,
that doesn't
Jay,
even sound like a game. That's more like a.
Well, I don't know. So, You know, so, and here's the other thing, Jay. You know, some of these lines, I'm making these up. I know that sounds, that's hard to believe, isn't it? I'm actually,
you know, improv. That's what that's
exactly.
What
well, that's what I've always done. Let's see. They Ole Miss plays Fresno State, who is a big winner over Abilene Christian. So, you know, so Fresno travels to the Grove in Oxford.
Missed anybody?
Well, Texas A&M, and who? Honestly, my SEC. Here's a new feature. Could you play the new feature music, Jay?
Yeah, here you go.
Okay, great. Now, what? This is the SEC team of the week. Now, I'm going to exclude Auburn from that because naturally, Auburn is always
The team of the week.
That's right. But
even when we don't play.
Exactly. Texas A&M beat higher ranked than them at the time, Arizona State, 38-17, and looked really good doing it. I watched a good bit of that game. You can tell John Chavis, legendary defensive coordinator by way of Tennessee, LSU, and now Texas A&M, 17 points to that high-powered Todd Graham offense out there at Arizona State. 38-17, Jay. A&M plays Ball State. If I can read my that's either Bell State or Ball State. I'm not sure I can read my handwriting.
That's but Indiana folks.
Bell or Ball State beat VMI, Jay. And that's I think it's
– Oh, no, wait a minute. Are you saying that Texas A&M is the – team to watch?
They were the SEC team of the week.
Oh, for the okay.
I think Auburn Louisville was one of the bigger competitive games, and Alabama Wisconsin. You had a couple of top teams there, but I think Texas A&M beating Arizona State the way they did, maybe a little unexpectedly, has earned AUFans.com. SEC team of the week.
We're watching you, Texas A&M.
So, Jay, we're going to get ready for Jacksonville State. Again, this Saturday, 11 o'clock kick, early kick. Not sure. I think it's on the SEC network for those of us that don't have season tickets. Also, Jay, in the coming weeks, we're going to be, adding back some of our old features. We'll have maybe the beef of the week. We'll have some other things like that. But one thing I'm excited about, we're going to be introducing soon a new way to rank teams, if you will, a new polling system.
All right.
Perhaps you could call it that. It's going to be called the Starrett Score. And that is after the person that kind of pulled all the different elements of this polling system. My nephew, who is a Auburn student and a very bright kid, unfortunately, he's
couldn't
from,
have been from your side of the family.
That is correct. He is my sister-in-law's youngest son, and he's come up with a way to rank teams that involve it's got several different aspects. There's there's an average margin of victory. There's a strength of schedule.
Okay.
And then there's something called the average knockout time. And I think that's something that's probably new to most of the fans listening. This knockout time, some type of complicated formula about at what point was another team technically out of the game.
Okay.
They were, and I'm not sure, we may have some stuff on the site that explains that. Might even have my nephew come on the show to briefly explain.
That's what we need.
That's right, explain of it. But that's going to be exciting, folks. People will be talking about the AP poll and the BCS or the you know, the different, or not the BCS, but the football playoff, you know, once they start that in a few, but, you know, nobody will know about the Sterrett score. And so you'll be able to say, look, you know, you got you guys over here picking teams. Yeah. You got your sports writers over
here.
Here's
the real numbers right here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like it.
So excited about that. And might have a few shout outs.
Okay.
Along the way, we've got some pretty loyal, faithful listeners, Jay.
Awesome.
And
thank you for listening. That almost sounded like I was ending the show.
Well, and then that's probably a good point because I think that's pretty much it, Jay. I guess you can go ahead and get us on out of here.
Cue up the music and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. We'll be next week. We'll be talking about the Jacksonville State game and looking forward to our trip to Baton Rouge.
Remember Stan's prediction for next week, 45-17 against Jacksonville State. I wonder which team my brother-in-law will be rooting for because he went to school at Jacksonville State and his son went to Auburn.
Well, see,
I can't wait to hear about that one.
I hope he's a loyal listener.
All right, let's get out of here. War Eagle, Stan.
War Eagle, Jay.
Y'all have a good week. You've been listening to Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay. With your hosts, Stan Stevens and Jay Webb. This has been a production of AUFans.com in association with Webb and Stevens Unlimited Media. Thank you for listening, and War Eagle!